Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Welcome to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. If you have been listening to our shows, which we have in the first of each month in the ISM series report on business with both Tim Fiore and Anthony Nieves. Tim represents the manufacturing report on business, Anthony the non-manufacturing report. This is a show you want to listen to, Lou. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do. Most of the time it's good and fun and the numbers are up. I think we have a slightly different situation here. I think I even checked the stock market a little while ago. It was down about 300 points. Tim, you can apologize to the whole market if you wish when you are presented. And let's see where it's going. It can't
and
be.
Joining us now is Tim Fiore, who is the committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management's Manufacturing Report on Business. As always, Tim, we appreciate you joining us and giving us the highlights of the report. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be here, guys. So, I think the expectations were 51, and we came in at 49.1. So we ended 35 months of pretty strong expansion, averaging somewhere around 56, 57, unfortunately. So, the big reason is that the new order level fell off pretty dramatically following several months of lackluster response, coming in at 47.2 on the new orders, the weakest of the five PMI sub-indexes, but also supported by the fact that new export orders contracted at a 43.3 level, down almost 5 points from last month, which is a serious contraction, the strongest contraction of all the PMI sub-indexes, the 10 different sub-indexes that we follow. So, and, the lack of a new export order means a lack of a new order. So there's definitely a relationship there. The demand, generally, very, very, not very good news on the demand side. There were a couple of positives. So, I track demand by, obviously, the new order number, new export number I've already talked about. I also watch the customer inventory number, which was down slightly, which is a good thing for the future, down almost a point, not significantly, but not growing heavily, still in the too low territory, which is positive for the future. And then the only other positive thing about the report this month is that backlog contraction slowed down. The prior month, it was at 43.1, this month at 46.3. So a bit of a slowing on the backlog side, which is pretty good. But overall, the demand was down, and that's driving the entire PMI.
Tim, could some of that backlog not contracting is because that production has slowed a bit?
Yeah, it could. I mean, I think it could. I think the production if production slowed, it would have slowed because of lack of people or lack of material.
Right.
And I don't think there's any lack of either one. So,
right.
I mean, there's three, right? Lack of new orders, lack of people, lack of material. And there's clearly enough people because we've done well for the last 3 or 4 months. We're still expanding. And the raw material side, the inventory account is still in a contraction mode, barely contracting, but it's really being micromanaged to make sure that raw material in excess of immediate need doesn't get received. So you got to kind of say, all right, you want your factory to produce, so you're going to consume all the new orders you can, and you're going to chew into the backlog. And they chewed into the backlog yet again, but not at the same rate as they did the prior month, which is, I think it's a slight positive. The backlog growing would be because we had an excess of new orders, right? Or you're right, the production backed off, but there's no indications that there was an intentional slowdown in production at all. There's a fact that there wasn't enough new orders to really keep everything fully expanding.
In fact, we've heard a lot, Tim, in the last couple of weeks about inversions of the 2-year and 10-year Treasury bonds. You have an inversion in your report. You track new orders against inventory, and if it's a 5-plus number, things are going well. It's actually a negative number this month, is it not?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, yeah, you're going to, right. I mean, that inventory number hardly moves, which is a bit of a surprise, but okay, fine. But having the new order number down at 47.2, that's pretty weak.
So let's talk
about the sentiment. So, you know, I take a gauge in the general comment section around people's attitude about the next month and the next quarter. And since I've been doing that, we've always been positive. We've always had more comments on the positive side than we've had on the not so positive. But this month of August, was the first time that we had more not so positive comments compared to positive. We had 1.6 not so positive comments compared to 1 positive comment. So that's the first time that's happened. Most of it focused around, okay, what are we going to do next month, next quarter? So that's not a good thing. And then on the tariff front, 35% of my general comments are tariff related, which was up from last month's 25%, I'm sorry, but still off of the peak from the prior month at 46%. So tariffs are still weighing heavily on supply managers' minds. It's almost like a tariff exhaustion, and it's really hard to keep up with when the announcements come out as to when, I get the information so I can do an analysis. I think a lot of the latest rounds really wasn't reflected in the August report. I think the latest round occurred, 7 or 10 days ago, and jumped the tariff levels up by 25 or 50% on existing stuff, and took the $300 billion, broke it into pieces, exempted about $70 billion of it, and put about $150 billion in place as of September 1st, and another 100 and some odd billion in mid-December, I guess.
Tim, let me ask you this. It's all sounding grim, and I think, frankly, this is one of the first times we ever heard Tim here sound a little on the downside with regards to these numbers. What does our listeners and manufacturers do? Should they be looking to hunker down or get a shooting plan for marketing and try and grab market share, or lay back until the water recedes?
Well, I'm not a good predictor, Lou. I think I got the gist of your question, but as we were talking before the show started, I mean, we are entering a fairly strong manufacturing period here, September, October,
right.
November. And,
right.
Maybe with that, and we're ending the vacation period. So, with that, maybe we'll be fully staffed again, and people will be placing orders in September for delivery before the year's over, where they close their year. I think 1 month doesn't tell a story, although we've had 4 steady months here of slowing without any respite. So as we talked last month, generally these declines, you come down 2 points, you go up a point, and you put a sawtooth kind of profile in place. Whereas this time it's been a pretty straight decline over the last 4 months.
Right.
But I think we wait and see what September brings. I mean, September should be a strong month. The seasonality factors were, hold on a second, let me get that. They were slightly positive for new orders. So the new order number actually would have been worse. And they were slightly positive for production. And the supplier delivery and employment numbers were actually would have been more because they were deducted slightly. So if you looked at this thing without seasonality factors applied, the PMI would have been 48.9.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to
say we believe in the seasonality factors, so they make a lot of sense, and it makes sense. I mean, we're actually adding to new orders in production in August because you have a lot of people on vacations, right?
Sure thing. I'll be the one on the positive side then, I guess, today, because I think that September is going to reach the goal and go beyond. I've been watching the ISM numbers for, I don't know, three decades, and you guys are 99-point-something-something right in your assessments. But I'm going to predict that next month is going to be a much more positive number. So get out there, folks. Spend your money. Get your orders in and buy a lot of steel.
So we had a couple of interesting indexes that came in the month. The conference board came in fairly solid, both for current and future. But the University of Michigan came in significantly down. So on consumer confidence, consumer sentiment and confidence. So mixed signals there, right?
That sounds that way.
Yeah, we had home starts fell in July 4% versus June, which doesn't bode well. We'll see what August brings.
About the home building and such, I think there may be a generational thing that's happening there. Millennials don't—they don't want houses. They want to live in cheap apartments with a roommate and low expense, so that they could party hardy and not worry about finances. At least that's what's going on here in New York and probably other large cities.
Yeah, people don't seem to be as connected to houses as they used to be in the past, right?
That's right. That's right.
I think that's because we're a lot more mobile now than we used to be, too.
100%. I agree.
Tim, I have a question for you. I'm reading because I know that the media industry, even the White House, follows this ISM number very closely. And so when it comes out, everybody jumps on it. And I'm reading an industry periodical name I won't mention, and their statement is, the Institute for Supply Management's monthly report shows manufacturing already in recession on certain metrics. Would you agree with that?
No, I don't agree that we're in recession. I think that we're contracting for 1 month, right? A recession, by definition, you need two quarters of decline, and that's not what we have here, so...
So I don't want anybody to get panicky because they're reading the word recession and they're hearing it in the media quite a bit. In fact, the National Association of Manufacturers chief economist is simply predicting a GDP, I think, for the year at around 2.1 and 1.8 for next year. Both of those are positive numbers. They're obviously not great numbers. They're not threes or fours, but they're still positive. What does this number for this report translate into in terms of GDP, Tim?
Well, let's see here. Yeah. Let's see. 1.8% increase in 1.8? Real GDP. Real GDP, right? Not
right.
Nominal. At a 49.1. So, you know, you're right. I mean, they're saying that we probably finished up the last quarter at a 2% growth, right? We've over the last 10 or 15 years, we averaged 1.8 to 2. I tend to think that remember when I started this role and I think when this cycle started, we had synchronous expansion across the globe. We had Japan, China, India a little bit, Brazil a little bit, Europe expanding, U.S. expanding, and we don't have that anymore. And you got to wonder whether the situation that existed 2 years ago was still in place, meaning more of a free trade environment, that we wouldn't be sitting here in a contraction mode. I tend to think that that's what would be the case, that we would still be humming along at some mid-50s level.
You know, given that, and I would agree with you, Tim, if the tariffs weren't in place and we had taken some other approach to our issues with China and, you know, Canada and Mexico, we probably wouldn't be in this position. If the tariffs suddenly disappear, it's now resolved, are we going to be in a position, and I'm sorry, this is a little predictive, where we would expect the economy to turn back upwards? What do you think the sentiment in manufacturing would be?
Well, I don't think anybody in the community here thinks that it's going to be resolved in the short term. So it's really a hypothetical, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. But even if that came about, I think the uncertainty that has been put in place, which people would still be stalling. They wouldn't really know what to do. Because I think now that we've used this tool as extensively as we have, the potential to use it again is much greater. So it's still going to limit people's willingness to invest because they're just not going to be sure what happens. There needs to be a significant event that says, okay, this probably isn't going to happen for a long time. And you know that's not possible within the next year and a half, right?
Right. So what does, this report, obviously, we expected, given the softening over the last 4 months, at some point we might tick below 50. Are there any silver linings in the report, any areas that are actually rather positive?
Well, the only two were the customer inventory number coming up, dropping a little bit, which means that next month the factories have the ability to ship more inventory to customers because the accounts are still too low. But that's kind of an indirect. And the only other positive on the report is the fact that the backlogs were not contracting as strongly as they did the prior month. So outside of that, you get the two trade elements clearly in contraction now for at least 2 months. And before that, they were relatively stable at flat. The last 4 months, they've been pretty much either contracting or flat. So not a positive there. Prices are down again at a similar level to last month, which means that buyers have power, which is a positive, I guess, from that standpoint. But from the overall economic growth standpoint, probably not a positive. You want that price number to be an expanding number. The supplier deliveries is the only number here that actually expanded, but at 51.4, it's pretty weak, and all it really says is that they still struggle a little bit, but pretty much you can assume that what people need, they get it pretty quickly. Other positive sign here is that raw material inventories are still at about 50, and they're not filling up, because if you had a 52 or 55 number there, that would be concerning, because that means that would have to be used before the supply chain could deliver again. New orders came through the supply chain to the sub-suppliers. So that's a fairly positive. I think that they've been able to maintain input costs pretty well in concert with the slowing new order level. Outside of that, not much here.
Well, it's one other point that I'd like to delve into just for a moment or three. We didn't talk a whole lot about the tariff and trade wars to any great degree. I think it's today, is it not, that the administration is raising tariffs again? It's either today or tomorrow. Somewhere along the line, the tariff is going to break the back of the animal. The farmers are hurting very badly. A lot of manufacturing is hurting very badly. They're indecisive, don't know what to do. They can't create or have not created a alternate supply chain. Obviously, people are talking about it. They're looking at it. And I think, matter of fact, we're coming out with an article in our magazine, Metals and Manufacturing Outlook, about that, about the fact that you better get a strategy is the bottom line. We just can't sit back and wait. That'll be the most detrimental. So I still think that the tariffs, unfortunately, are going to still build up its weight against the entire structure of the economy.
Yeah, 35% of general comments here. I think the manufacturing community feels the same way. We're definitely not pro tariffs. I mean, we're looking now at somewhere between 10 to 25% tariffs on $575 billion of imported goods from China. I mean, that's where we are now, I think. Between now and mid-December, we're going to see that. I think there's like $70 billion that was waived. That's not going to be tariffed. But then the rest of that $250 billion was split between an immediate tariff, like like Lou said now, and then a tariff that goes into place on primarily consumer electronics on December 15th to so-called avoid the Christmas season. So
the reality
is that about $600 billion, which is about 90% of imported product from China, is going to carry, call it 15 to 20% average tariff. And by the time they're done, I can't even keep up with it anymore. I think we've got some stuff at 30% now, right?
Right.
I figured I'd sit down and put a table together with dates on it because I'm having trouble keeping up.
I'm not sure you can do that because it keeps changing, moving. It's like a moving target.
Constant. It's constantly changing. So $600 billion at 25%, that's $150 billion, right? That's a serious hit. Now, some of that is consumer-driven, which will show up more in Anthony's numbers, not mine. But there's a significant part that comes into the manufacturing community here.
Well, not only that, that's money that's coming out of our economy. It's not coming out of China's pocket. It's coming out of the consumer. And there's still a lot of people out there who believe that it's coming from China.
Well, it's complicated, right? So they've weakened their currency, which means they can't buy oil and things at the same level that they could before. So that's a hit. But there's there's no doubt that over time that the supply chain will move from China, or all that stuff is going to go through an intermediate country, and that we've got to be sharper about it, right? I mean, I've heard about stuff going through Thailand. I heard it this morning that we're looking to have Thailand do more electronic stuff. Well, a lot of that may have its base originating in China. You know the story about Vietnam. A lot of the steel and stuff that used to come, the galvanized especially, used to come from China to the U.S. is now making its way through Vietnam. So it's still 80% content Chinese, not Vietnamese, but it looks that way. So these are the problems with tariffs, right? There's always a way. Capital finds a way to find its less expensive source, and that's what will happen here. In the end, if the supply chain leaves China, it will leave for a long time, and it appears that that's what's happening now.
Well, they're now talking about, it's understood that goods are going from China to Vietnam and Korea and being transshipped to the U.S. If I know about it, the whole world knows about it. the rumor has it that there will be the similar kinds of tariffs placed on Korea and Vietnam to squash the transshipping of Chinese goods through a third party. So, they're not totally stupid in Washington.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but okay. Tim, why don't you wrap this up for us? I realize we've been over it a couple of times, but I think it's important for our listeners to understand that we're not in a recession. This is certainly a softening, and in September, October, we'll begin to see the story of the rest of the year.
Right. So, our first contraction month in 35 months, and if you count the start of this expansion back to March of 2016, it's more like 42 months, which is about the average manufacturing expansion cycle since the early 2000s. Sentiment is not as strong as it was, primarily driven by tariff and trade issues that still remain one-third of my general comments. We have three of our Big Six manufacturing industry sectors still expanding, but very weakly. We have two of our Big Six contracting, one of them, our number three industry sector, contracting strongly, but not a big surprise. The chemical sector that continues to expand, albeit weakly, is a global manufacturing industry sector. We have advantaged natural gas in the United States. That's the predominant feedstock for your chemical production in the United States. And with that advantaged natural gas, we're able to produce and ship product all over the world at good margins. And that's why it was a large export industry sector. And now it's fallen into a very weak environment. driven primarily because of the strong dollar and the weak economy overseas, and the combination of some counter tariffs that are occurring. We have our computer electronics sector that has been a shining star since this expansion started. It used to expand high 50s, low 60s, is now in a weak expansion mode. And you have to wonder whether the arguments with Huawei are at the root of some of that. So, because that sector has been able to deal with import tariffs on electronic components for the last year, year and a half without really skipping a beat. But now it's slowed down its own growth predominantly because it doesn't have the new order level, which probably has something to do with the international trade issue. So I think we're entering a manufacturing period here, one of the two strong manufacturing periods. September, hopefully, we'll see the new order level come back. That'll allow things to stabilize. There were some comments in the employment sector. Although in the general sector of my comments, about 4% comments were labor-related, and they were positive labor-related, but I did dig into the employment section, and about 25% of the comments were more around stabilizing the workforce, looking at right-sizing the workforce, not replacing attrition, and potential for layoffs. If you don't have new orders, you don't have a need for more people, and you may have too many people already.
Right.
So I think we're entering an interesting period here. I think that it's all really around demand. We need to get demand back, and we need our three, our top two industry sectors expanding again, and that'll help the manufacturing economy in the United States significantly.
Well, just to end this merry event of ours today, since we've been on the air, the Dow has dropped 300 points at the beginning of the show, and now this being the near end of the show, it's now down 333 points. So all of you who have stocks, just bury your head, don't sell, hang in.
Well, Tim, we appreciate you being with us again on Manufacturing Talk Radio, and we're certainly going to look forward to the report next month on or about October 1st. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here, guys. Thanks. Talk to you in October.
Thank you.
So, Lou, that's where we stand as the stock market does its up and down thing. We'll have to wait out a month and work through a month, but it looks like it is a bit of softening. The question is, will it go up or down from here? And nobody knows.
Well, except me. I know it's going to go up. You can count on it.
Okay.
I don't have the formula. I don't have the facts and figures, but I have instincts, and I do believe that September is going to be a end on a better note. And on that, let's talk about our other shows.
Yes, we have certainly Women in Manufacturing, which is a sister station for us. And there are a lot of great content shows there, particularly for women who have careers in the manufacturing industry. Some great advice from women who've been in that industry for 20 and 30 years who can share their experiences and what you can glean from that. And there's a lot of great knowledge there. We're working on a new show called Where's Willie? William Miller travels the country talking to manufacturers, boots on the ground in the businesses on the factory floor, so he can give us insight into what is actually happening and how he sees it. We have Cliff Waldman, who has his show called Manufacturing Matters with Cliff Waldman, and he does interviews with a lot of people in the industry who really have got their pulse on what's happening to the economy. So tune into those. You can find links to all of that at mfgtalkradio.com, and we appreciate you listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.